on continuing a conversation about health. Well, few of them these days stray from the impact of healthcare reform in our lives, how to balance the needs of patients and doctors and hospitals and insurers, even as the ACA continues to morph and costs for care escalate, could often mean little time for anything but the technology. And there's plenty of it to go around and plenty of it in our lives anyway. So what's happening to the human element? Dr. Abraham Verghese is advocating for its rightful reinstated place in the patient-doctor relationship. He's in Hawaii for tomorrow's healthcare summit and joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bethan. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to talk to you because that redefinition of relationship between patient and doctor has been undergoing so much change over the last many years that people feel lucky if they get a glimpse of their doctor for a couple of minutes and then he or she may be off again.
I know, and that's the great paradox about healthcare is that in many ways we've never had better health capability in terms of treating disease, and yet it's come with an increasing public disenchantment with what it's like to visit a physician. And I think that's because we forget that ultimately this is a human-to-human interaction. It's a very vulnerable person coming to another human being at a time of increased vulnerability and looking for something more than a transaction that revolves around lab tests and paradigms. They're looking at some level for the physician to be comforting them, saying at some level, you know, daddy, mommy, please help me, and getting that sort of nurturing. And I think in our postmodern self-consciousness, we've gotten very far away from that.
It's made it very easy to sort of discount that vulnerability by addressing it only with facts or with what we can do with tests and the technology that's been made available. But all of that seems to be pointing out the fact that we really need each other at a very deep level, and medicine has been none too quick to respond to that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we really have lost sight of the importance of the human connection. I actually believe that there's an important ritual that takes place. I mean, if you think about it, one stranger coming to another, telling them things that they wouldn't tell their rabbi or preacher or even their spouse, and then incredibly at the end of that, disrobing and allowing touch. And all this taking place in a strange room where one's wearing a white gown and another's wearing a paper gown, it has all the trappings of a ritual or a ceremony. And I think if you shortchange that ceremony, if you do a half-assed exam of the body and put your stethoscope on the gown and don't really listen properly, the patient walks away feeling that they were shortchanged in some way. So I think even as we use the best of technology, we have to sort of maintain that human connection that is so much a part of healing, so necessary.
Dr. Verghese, you just talked about what the patient may feel, but does a doctor also fall into that same risk of feeling that somehow there wasn't much of an exchange there, or are they just so beleaguered that they don't even have time to think about their own feelings?
I think it's very much a great part of the dissatisfaction among physicians is the sense that they're in this time-pressured, environment, and that for every 1 minute they spend with the patient, they have to spend 10 minutes recording the event on a computer. And they actually wind up spending more time on what I call the iPatient, which is the virtual construct of the patient and the computer, than they do on the real patient. And it's a source of great dissatisfaction. And I always think, why can't our technology now capture in real time the exchange between the patient and the physician so that we're not wasting our time being scribes and we can give all our attention to the patient without our eyes bouncing back and forth between a computer screen and the patient. But more than that, Bethan, I should say that the body is this incredible text that manifests all sorts of signs and all sorts of, signposts of disease. And what has also happened, embarrassingly, is that we are much, much worse than we were 100 years ago at picking up what I call the low-hanging fruit, the obvious manifestations of disease, which now we seem to not pick up because we're so dependent on the technology, so lost without our tests and our MRIs. And I think a better way to practice medicine, and this might feed well into the ACA and the healthcare reform that's coming, is to listen to the patient well, do a quick, thorough exam, pick up the low-hanging fruit, and judiciously order the right tests, rather than the approach we now have, which is, sort of a willy-nilly checking all the boxes and hoping that the answers fall out of the sky if you order enough tests.
Or hoping that somehow that'll cover your backside in case anything else were to shake out that you didn't perhaps pick up, or that maybe another doctor didn't. We've talked a lot about having all of patient records integrated electronically, being able to have patients be their own best advocates, all of those things in terms of disclosure and to talking about all of that. But still, in all of this, there's the sense that maybe patients are being sort of moved from pillar to post to get something done, as opposed to have a relationship with someone with whom they might be able to easily have that low-hanging fruit exposed, where they would be able to have a doctor say, well, remember the last time we talked?
Yeah.
Where there actually is a relationship there. It
Absolutely.
Seems to be, in many words, that word relationship is only talking about a visit, not necessarily something that extends beyond the time that you walk in a doctor's door.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. I think we're so caught up in the idea of healthcare coverage that we're not keeping in track, and we're not keeping in mind the necessity of a personal connection. And I must say, I'm so impressed with how far ahead you are in Hawaii in terms of the number of people who are covered, the number of people who have primary care physicians, the sort of not the over-dependence on the emergency room. So I think you're very poised here to do exactly what the rest of the country's trying so hard to do, which is to sustain and maintain one-on-one relationships, not just with a physician, but a healthcare team, but in a constant relational way over many, many years.
So how do you see changes happening in small ways? And we've talked a lot about, you know, beating over the head about what isn't, but you've been advocating very strongly for making those changes. How do you see them happening now in maybe smaller ways that we should sit up and take notice of?
Well, I think clearly the fee-for-service model is much threatened, if not in danger of disappearing. And we're going to be focusing much more on the collective health of a group of people. And we'll be measured by how well we do the job of taking care of our community. And the measures will include, above all, patient satisfaction. And I think to the degree that in this decade the buzzword is no longer quality of care, but has changed to patient satisfaction, I think we're going to hear from patients. You know, I get lots of complaints from patients coming to me because I write about medicine, and it's so often the case that the complaint is phrased in the following manner, Bethan, which is, my doctor did not lay a hand on me, so-and-so did not touch me. It's interesting how often touch is expressed as the manifestation of this lack of care. And I think as we continue to hear these phrases and care about the patient reaction, I think we'll find ourselves bringing back the bedside exam, celebrating it not just for its ritual quality, but for allowing us to practice judicious, careful medicine and order tests selectively. So I think there's a movement afoot, and I'm very proud at Stanford that we're championing this, and I think it's taking hold.
Well, that's good news, and we'll end on that part. Thanks very much for coming to Hawaii. I know that you're going to be speaking tomorrow, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Dr. Abraham Verghese is a best-selling author and prominent voice in medicine with a unique humanistic view of the future of healthcare, as you just heard him articulate. He's the Senior Associate Chair for the Theory and Practice of Medicine at Stanford, and his most recent novel, his other life as a novelist, Cutting for Stone, spent 2 years on the New York Times bestseller list. He'll be speaking at tomorrow's Hawaii Healthcare Summit and delivering a keynote speech called Marrying Technology with the Human Touch. We've got details on hpr2.org.
This is Amanda Stone, and this is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio.